And so they're going to share the word with us tonight. He's a former dean of Rhema Bible Training Center. They have pastored and planted churches and done mission works. And now they're in China. And so he's going to share with us tonight. So y'all go ahead and put your hands again together again. Let's welcome the crowds as they come and share.
You're not going to come.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. This is my lovely wife, Connie. I'm going to let her go ahead and preach, and I'm going to sit down.
Amen. Open your Bibles. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that's what we've done. That's what we've had the joy and the pleasure of doing in America, in four different nations, and right now in the country of China. And we're excited about what's happening right here in Jackson, Mississippi, and the surrounding areas. And it's a pleasure to be here tonight. Ice, snow, doesn't matter. We're all here as family to worship God together and to give Him glory and honor and praise. So we're excited for what's happening right here in your community and in your lives and the exciting things that shall come to this year for you as you endeavor to step out and do more for the kingdom of God. Thank you again for having us. It's a pleasure to be here and trust to be blessed by the service. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife has been faithful to follow me around the world, literally, and I appreciate that. This is we've been married 31 years, going on 32 years. We have a son who is married, and we have our first grandson. How many grandparents do we have? Greatest thing on the planet. Those of you who are not yet grandparents, just wait. Everyone, you know, I don't know what it is, but when you have your own children, they're good, but then grandchildren are perfect. Not one flaw. They can't do anything wrong. Hallelujah. It's good to be here with you. We appreciate Pastor Joel inviting us to come. And we appreciate the opportunity to share with you. Pastor Joel mentioned that he wants to support us in the work that we're doing in China. And so we're very excited about that. We appreciate him and how generous he is and this church is. And we appreciate you and your prayers. Just to begin with, we do have a short video that I have not even seen yet. My office staff put this together, so hopefully they haven't put any funny pictures of me in here without my knowledge. I don't think they have, but we have a video that is just a few minutes long that is probably good just to introduce what we're doing, and then we'll give you some more specifics on our work in China, what's taking place in that part of the world. So let's go ahead and show that video right now. We want to say to you, thank you, and God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to have to write her and tell her that she did a good job. That gives you a little bit of a background of what we've been doing for the past 7 years in China. This is our 8th year now, beginning in China. 8 years ago, we were praying for the nation of China and praying specifically for the leadership of China. And we had previously lived in 3 other countries. We were at this time back at Rhema, and I was participating a lot in prayer school, teaching in prayer school, and we were praying, and it just seemed like almost all the time we would refocus and begin praying for the leaders in Asia, and specifically China. And after some time, it just seemed like there was something on the inside of us that would not go away. We had lived in Asia before, in Thailand and Singapore, and we at that time had been praying for an opening into China, but it was not yet the time to do that. And so at this time when we were praying during prayer school, it just seemed like there was something on the inside that just would not go away. And so we continued to pray, my wife and I, and prayed for about 1 year. And we knew at that point that we had to return to Asia. And in 2006 is when we left our position at Rhema and began traveling to raise some support. 2007, during Chinese New Year, we relocated to our first city that you noticed on the video, which is Qingdao, which is on the coast, the eastern side, northeastern side of China. We had some contacts there, and that led us to another city in Dalian, and then Beijing, and then now into Hong Kong. We've had the privilege of seeing a lot of house churches. We formerly called them underground churches. Now we call them house churches because they're not so much underground. And 3 self-churches, which are the government legally registered churches. We work with both sides. We've had great favor to be able to go in and to teach, to do conferences, seminars, unofficially. We say we do things officially, unofficially. We try to do things as openly as we can within the guidelines that we're permitted to work in. We've had some challenges, don't misunderstand me. We've had to move a lot. We've had a couple of times, I was one time interrogated for a while and let go. A few other times we've had to quickly relocate. But we've really had minimal problems. And actually, you know, I don't have the time to talk in great length about everything that's going on in China, but probably everything you've read at one time or another is true. But things have changed so much in China, up till this point at least, that what is about 3 years old in terms of written material is pretty much outdated as to what's going on in China. It changes so rapidly. So, you know, China is such a large country. There's 33 different provinces and autonomous regions. And so each province is like a state here in the U.S. It has its own form of government. However, there is the central government out of Beijing. But many times the laws that are passed in Beijing don't make it out to some of the other provinces right away. And they don't enforce some of those laws because some of the men that are in positions of leadership are either older guys that haven't changed to a more modern form of thinking. And so they still have some of the old ways of thinking. And so they don't implement some of those laws as quickly. You can understand that. So in some areas, there used to be more persecution than in other areas. For example, where we lived, I openly taught a Bible study in a 3-cell church annex for 3 years without any problems. As a matter of fact, the church gave us the place and they knew what we were doing. There were just a couple of subjects we had to avoid: casting out devils, falling under the power, and doing a lot of teaching on praying in other tongues. So we would do that after the service or before the service. No problem. But any other subject was not off limits. And so we turned that Bible study over to another Rhema graduate who's still there working in that particular part of China. We've done unofficial gatherings. We've had to, you know, the Lord has spared us many times. I was upstairs teaching, the police come in, the bottom, the secretary would stop them, and then I would make my way out. Not that it's going to affect me. They really wouldn't do anything but take me maybe and interrogate me like one time, you know, just interrogate me for a while and then let me go. The worst case scenario would be that they would say you have to leave the country and they would not permit you to reenter for 5 years. And that would obviously affect our work. So I'm very cautious about that. And so we do things as safely as we can without creating a lot of problems. There are unwritten laws of the land, basically. Once you know those, you can operate and you can get along without a lot of difficulty. But we've had the privilege of working with some very, very wonderful people in high positions of leadership in the government church. By partner and friend who you saw interpreting Brother Hagin's prophecy, he is a 1999 Rhema grad from Singapore. He speaks fluent Chinese. He and I have been working together for the past several years now in China. Of course, he looks Chinese. I'm trying to look more Chinese, but it's not working. But he can go in and out, and it's not a problem because he blends in. He speaks more of a southern dialect, so they don't really check him that much. As a matter of fact, he was just in the southern province at Christmas, and they had an 1,800-seat auditorium packed out. I was telling Pastor Marcus ahead of time, a blind lady was instantly healed. He had to do mass prayer because he couldn't get people to come forward. About 85% of the congregation had instant manifestations. We had several hundred people get saved. All of our meetings are that way when we do large meetings like that. He was able to do it. Police were present. They were in the facility. As a matter of fact, last year, a Secret Service policeman got saved in his service. So this year, he took my friend out to dinner. And so we have a lot of favor. We use a lot of wisdom in how we do things. And actually, the government of China is not anti-Christian. They're actually supportive of Christianity as long as it does not interfere with their form of government. And we respect that. We operate as openly and honestly as we can. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine who's lived in Hong Kong 45 years, been in and out of China, meets regularly with the PSB, the Public Security Bureau, and educates them on the difference between Christianity and cults. There is a lot of different cults that are operating in China. There's a couple I won't mention that are creating a lot of problems for Christians. They're a very demonic cult. They infiltrate into churches and act like Christians, and then they create problems. Just terrible things. They drug pastors. They drug church members. They just do a lot of things. They're very anti-government. And so, obviously, the Chinese government is concerned about this, and they don't know the difference between who's who, you know, who's a Christian, who's a cult member, because they, you know, most communists don't study that. And so, we're trying to help educate them a little bit and let them know, listen, if you take the restrictions off of Christianity, then Christianity would take care of all of this. People would be educated and knowledgeable enough to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. We don't have those issues in America because people are informed. They know things. And so everywhere in the world there are cults and there are false religions. But if you allow Christianity to propagate and you teach and train people, they'll know the difference. And so we're praying for the government officials. We're praying for the pastors in China. And our mission primarily is to teach and train leaders. And that's what we focused on. We are an official Rhema in China. We don't advertise it that way, but now we're living in Hong Kong. We have more access to talk about things because Hong Kong, even though it's a part of China, it's not really a part of China. It still has another 40 years before they have to change government. So they have their own autonomous government that's still democratic, still open. And so that gives us a lot of flexibility. It gives us also an easier visa because we're only about 35 minutes from the border. So we can cross in and out very easily. And so that is the base of operations. Your church has given us a wonderful offering that we're going to buy video equipment. You notice that we have approval for our first Rhema online program, the first one approved by Rhema USA, all in Chinese. Even though I speak in Chinese, I don't teach in Chinese because it's a different vocabulary, a little more difficult. terminology, and so I want to be exact when I teach. And so we have pastors who are doing my translation. We do voiceovers. We have a lot of editing work to do, a lot of studio work to do. It's a lot bigger project than you realize when you start, you know, designing online programs. And so the Lord has brought together a team of people here in America that works for one of the largest companies in America that deal with this particular thing that we're doing. And the number one webpage designer in America is volunteering his time. He happens to be Chinese, and he's helping us design a webpage. They're going to give us the latest technology in embedded video players. They're going to rent Cisco servers for us and put it online and pay for it all and design the webpage and pay for everything. So thank God for that. That is a wonderful testimony. Of course, China is a small country, only 1.4 billion people. There are 800 million cell phone users. This year, they just passed 1 billion cell phone contracts. 1 billion cell phone contracts. 85% of the Chinese use their mobile device, their cell phone, to access the internet. Guess what? We are going to make available educational courses, Bible courses, that will be able to be played on any electronic device at any place at any time. They'll have to register and sign up. We'll keep track of them. But this is more of an introductory biblical doctrinal foundation. Then those who are pastors will come to us and we'll train them individually. We still go in and out of the country, but now we can bring them into Hong Kong for shorter periods of time to do intensive training. We have about 30-some titles of Brother Hagin's books already translated into Chinese. We're looking at maybe 40 in another couple of years. All of them are going to be electronic, digitally online, downloadable, free. All of them. And so that'll be a part of our online program. We're also looking at offering other materials that they can use, doing specialized training for pastors. Basically, they don't need us to teach them about evangelism. There's about 30,000 Chinese getting saved every day. Right now, there's over 90 million. That's a conservative estimate of Chinese born again. It's about 120 million of Chinese born again. And just a few short years, they'll be the largest populated per capita Chinese, largest Christian per capita country in the world, just because of the population. You understand, 1.4 billion is a lot of people. And so they are very good at evangelism. They're very good. The Three Self Church, which is the government church, has a great organization, great structure. We're just helping them with doctrine. They need that changed a little bit. The house church movement is okay. They just need some structure. So we're helping them with that a little bit. And there's a lot of other ministries that are doing wonderful things in China, and we thank God for every one of them. Because one ministry cannot do it all. We need to work together. And we have some tremendous ministries that are working in China, reaching people in every aspect that we can. And so this is our mission. This is what God's called us to do, and this is what we're doing right now. And we wanted to let you know about what's going on, what's taking place, and what you are a part of. You're a part of the gospel being spread to the most populated nation in the world. And there are a lot of Chinese that will thank you one day because you were a part of it. When you go to heaven, you see Chinese walk up to you and thank you. You don't know where they came from. You'll know. You'll remember this night, okay? Because of your prayers and your financial support, your church has helped us to buy video lighting equipment that we're going to be using that is critical for our recording that will go online. And so you're already a great part of what's taking place in China. And if you would ask me what you can do, the greatest thing you can do for us is to pray for us and to pray for the churches in China, the leaders in China. Pray that the leaders, the current leaders right now, and they are in for 5 years and then probably another 5 years. So about every 10 years we have policy shifting. But pray for them that they would be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And you can pray whether they're Christian or not. Doesn't matter. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for all men, especially for leaders. And he didn't say only Christian people. So we can pray for them that God would influence them to make good decisions for the benefit of the church in China, for the benefit of those pastors. We have a lot of people who have dedicated their lives in China who are national Chinese to preaching the gospel, regardless of how many times they get thrown into jail, regardless of how many times they are kicked out of their church or their building is destroyed or something happens to them. I could stand here tonight and tell you story after story after story of that. And it really challenges me when I see that take place and I think I'm suffering because I have a hangnail or something else happens to me. And I rub shoulders with individuals who are ready to do whatever is necessary to preach the gospel, even if it means being imprisoned. I met another young man from another province just outside of China, which actually there's a country just to the west of China, which I'll not mention, but is extremely, extremely dangerous right now for Christians. And this individual told me that he was going back and he was not sure if he would be alive the next time I saw him because of how dangerous it is. And you know, when you encounter people like that, you realize that, you know, not every place in the world is friendly to Christians. Not every place in the world can we gather like this. We can still gather like this in this nation. Thank God for this nation. Thank God we are still a Christian nation, regardless of what people say. And thank God this nation still supports the majority of missions work around the world. And that's why we'll still be blessed as long as we do that. Amen. And I believe we are. This is still an outstanding nation. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm a part of this country. We are still the focal point of the majority of Christians in the world. And the majority of the Chinese want to come to America. That's where they want to come for education. That's where they want to come to learn about God. That's where they want to come to be trained. And thank God for that. And so we are still a light to the world. And we need to continue to be a light to the world. And we will, as long as we continue to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and do what He wants us to do. And so I want to encourage you tonight, real quickly, I want to share some good news with you. Is that okay? Just a few minutes and then we're going to bring this to an end. I want to share some really good news with you because you don't always hear this. This is not necessarily, you won't hear these statistics on the news. This is the state of the world, what's going on in the world right now. This is what's taking place. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant church and the country was deemed impossible to penetrate. Today, Korea is 30% Christian, and there are 7,000 churches in Seoul, Korea alone. One of them is real small. They have about 700,000 members, about a million members. They had a prayer meeting not too long ago in Seoul, Korea, and 1 million people showed up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? 1 million people from one church showed up to pray. At the end of the 19th century, the southern portion of Africa was only 3% Christian. 3% Christian. Today, it is almost 60% Christian. Africa is one of the fastest growing Christian populations in the world. Tremendous things are happening in Africa. As a matter of fact, about 34,000 people are joining the church every day in Africa. In India, 14 million of the 140 million members of the untouchable caste have become Christians. More people in the Islamic world have come to Christ in the last 25 years than the entire history of Christian missions. In Central Asia, a church planted in Uzbekistan just 4 years ago has grown to 3,000 members and planted 55 churches. In Mongolia, which has no church as recently as 1991, now has more than 3,000 believers in 17 churches. And the Mongolians have sent their first missionaries to work with Operation Mobilization in India. Central Asia Church, about 500 Muslims have come to faith in Christ every month in Iran. More Muslims in Iran have come to Christ since 1980 than the previous 1,000 years. There is a revival taking place in Iran, especially with the younger people, because the majority of them are younger. About the number of Christians in Indonesia has grown from 1.3 million 40 years ago to over 11 million today. Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world, population in the world. And a close friend of mine has a rhema there. And a close pastor friend of mine in Hong Kong, who is Indonesian, just told me unofficially the Christian population in Indonesia is 30%. 30%. He said, you'll not see that on the news. The news will not release that information because they're afraid to release that information in Indonesia. And he said they're getting saved by the thousands. They're not taking off their clothing, and they're going in and having their own services. And it sounds like they're praying, their normal prayers, but they're praying to God and they're worshiping Jesus. And there's a huge messianic movement taking place in Indonesia among these Muslim converts. Tremendous things are happening in Indonesia. The number, as I said, in Indonesia is over 11 million, 76,000 villages in the country, 50,000 are without a church, but it is unofficially 30%. No Christian was officially allowed to live in Nepal until 1960. Now there is a church in every one of the 75 districts in Nepal. Latin America has over 400 million people. More than 50 million have become evangelical Christians. By the end of this decade, a majority of the people in Brazil, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador will be evangelical believers. Chile, Costa Rica, Bolivia are about 40% Bible-believing evangelicals. Already Mexico's population is more than 35% evangelical. In Latin America, 34,000 believers are added to the church every day. In Brazil, 100 years ago, there were no evangelicals. In 1980, there are 12 million Protestants. By 1995, the number had increased to 40 million with 80,000 churches and 150 Christian radio and TV stations. The number is expected to reach 50 million by 2000, and it has. At least five new evangelical churches open every week in Rio de Janeiro. Church growth countrywide has reached over 5,000 new churches annually. On June the 15th of 2006, 3 million believers, you saw on the news, marched in Sao Paulo, the largest Christian march in the world. 3 million in 2006. If Bible translation had continued at its historic pace, providing a Bible in every people group's language would have been accomplished in the year 2150. But thanks to Wycliffe, they have increased that. And now, a portion of the New Testament will be translated in every language. Every language by the year 2042. And they may even pick the pace up on that. In AD 100, and this is the one I like. In AD 100, for every one Christian, 100 years after the death of Jesus, for every one Christian, there were 360 non-believers. Today, with over 7 billion people on this planet, for every one Christian, there's only 7 non-believers. Wow. For every Christian in this church, you're only 7 people away, every Christian, from reaching the entire world with the gospel. 7 people for every believer. And there's 7 billion people on this planet. As a matter of fact, Christianity per capita is the fastest growing, I use religion, quote unquote religion, it's not, fastest growing movement in the world at 3.6%, over 3.6%, outpacing every other religion. Bible believing, evangelical believers, it is outpacing every other religion. The growth, and the majority of evangelicals around the world outside of the U.S. are Pentecostal evangelicals. That is the fastest growing group of believers in the world. And in China, there's 25 to 30,000 believers every day added to the church, which is a small number, but it's growing. And so in a few years, it will have the largest, one of the largest per capita Christian populations in the world at this pace. And so God is doing wonderful things. Actually, Christianity is increasing. It's growing exponentially around the world. And you won't hear about this in every place. But I'm bringing these figures to you. These are facts. And I'm bringing to you tonight facts and figures from being in China. What's taken? This is not secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand. I don't go in and out, take trips. Thank God for people who do. We lived there. We lived there for 7 years. We were able to see what's taking place in that nation. The revival that's taking place. And there is a revival in China right now. As a matter of fact, I came into the charismatic revival. How many of you remember the charismatic revival back in the 70s, into the late 70s and early 80s? Anyone here beside me? I'm not that old. There's a few of you. All right. You remember that. We're having the exact same thing in China. Exactly. When we have prayer meetings, when we get them filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't even lay hands on them. We say right now, receive the Holy Ghost, and they fall under the power and they start speaking with tongues. People are healed. People receive the Holy Ghost. We don't even have a chance to lay hands on them. They go under the power. We never teach them to do that. We've never showed them a video to do that. It just happens. Then they start laying on the floor and laughing. We never taught them to do that. We never showed them a video by Brother Hagin to do that. Nothing. It's the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the same in China as He is in America. He's the same everywhere. You ought to have the same manifestations. And so God is doing some remarkable things around the world. And He's not through with the U.S. He's not through with the United States at all. This is the home of the gospel in our generation. It still is the home of the gospel. And that's why America still sends more missionaries than any other nation. Now, Korea is catching up. Brazil is catching up. We can't let them pass us. Amen. No, we can't let if you're from Brazil or Korea, God bless you. But we can't let you pass us. We have to be number one. Thank God for the missions emphasis this nation has. This nation was a pioneering nation. It always has been a pioneering nation. We have to have goals and new horizons and new vision. That's just the way we are. So we're perfect for missions. And so thank God for those churches that are supporting missions around the world and the missions groups around the world that are working hard. No one knows about them, what they're doing, Bible translators and others. Thank God for every one of them. Now, real quick, in James chapter 5, you know verse 7. James said this, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Well, we have been patient. It's been a long time. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Matter of fact, I told Pastor Marcus earlier when I was in Rhema, in 1977 through 1978, we had it figured out when Jesus was coming back. You want to know when it was? 1984. Because, you know, read Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talked about the budding of the fig tree. That was Israel, obviously, in my mind. This generation shall not pass away. So Israel became a nation in 1948. A generation is 40 years. 1988, you take 3.5 years off for the Great Tribulation. That's 1984. But 1984... we passed that by a long time ago. And Jesus has not yet come back. You know why? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And He has long patience for it. James said, until He received the early, the former, and the latter rain. Now, rain, the former rain and the latter rain, is a type of a work of the Holy Spirit in this earth. In Acts chapter 2, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, this is that Joel talked about. I will pour out of My Spirit on all flesh. This is that. This is the initial former outpouring, the former rain. And we are living in the days of the latter rain. Both of these are a type, a work of the Holy Ghost. We are living in the time, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We cannot minimize the person, the power, or the work of the Holy Spirit. When we minimize the person or the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, we are minimizing what God is emphasizing in the world today. You can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, "It is expedient or to your advantage that I go away." How is it, Jesus? "Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Helper, will not come unto you. But when He is come, He will not just be with you. He will be in you." We are helpless without the Holy Spirit. We are helpless. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is come, He will glorify Me. He does not diminish Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. We need the power, the person, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to make Him welcome. Not only in us, but through us. He's not come just to live on the inside to do nothing. He's come to empower you, every single person in this building. There are no individuals in the body of Christ who are not equipped to do what God wants them to do. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift," that doesn't leave everyone out, Every person has received the gift. That word gift is supernatural endowment. Every single one of you, when you got born again, the Holy Ghost came into you. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, now you have additional power. For what purpose? To be an effective witness for God, to empower you to do what God's called you to do. Every single member of the body of Christ is necessary to do what God wants to do to, in order for the plan of God to be consummated. Every single one of you, you say, well, I'm not a missionary. Well, you can pray. You can be a missionary right with your family, in your job, in your community, right where you live. You're a missionary. And we have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. He is our helper. He's not your doer. He is your helper. That means the moment we act, the moment we pray, the moment we go, the moment we do something, He's there to empower you, to strengthen you, to give you wisdom and ability, to give you supernatural utterance. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We can do nothing without Him. Nothing without Him. And He lives on the inside of you. He's the same Holy Spirit. He'll never change. He's there to help us accomplish what God wants to do in this earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16, Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You ever notice that? Where does it begin? Not in heaven, on the earth. Why is that? Because Jesus has placed His authority in the church, which is on the earth. Nothing happens in heaven until the church moves first. When the church prays, when the church speaks, when the church sends out, when the church acts on the word of God, that's when heaven moves. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Not what happens in heaven happens on earth. What happens on the earth determines what heaven can do. Amen. God's waiting on the church. He's not. We're not waiting on Him. He is waiting on us. And every single one of you can do something. Every single one. You say, what can I do? You can pray. You can witness. You can say, Holy Spirit, use me. You can touch people right where you are. You don't have to be on the mission field to see people healed, see people delivered. Not at all. Right now, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is stirring up, wanting to use you in some way. And so all He's looking for are available individuals. Are you available? We're living in the greatest time in the history of the world. Greatest time. Greatest time in the history of the earth. More things are happening to the body of Christ now than ever, ever before. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I stopped guessing. All I'm doing is working as much as I can to spread the gospel, to preach this gospel to every nation as much as we can, get the word out, and then the end shall come. Hallelujah. 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 Stand up with me. Take the hand of the person next to you. Then I'm going to have Pastor come. Take the hand of the person next to you. Let's pray right now. Let's pray for your family, for your co-workers, for your community, for this community. Let's pray that the Holy Ghost, let's say this, let's pray, Lord, use me, I'm available. Holy Spirit, use me, I'm available. Let's pray right now in other tongues. If you could pray in other tongues, or just pray in your own understanding. Father, right now we are joining hands as a church. Thank you for this church. We ask your blessing upon this church. They have partnered with us to reach China. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless them. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name, not only financially, but bless them numerically. Lord, add new converts, members to this church. Empower every believer. Empower every believer. We thank you, Father, for the power of God, the Holy Spirit who is in us right now, the anointing of God that is in every individual, that is working through every individual. We pray for every family member that's not saved. We claim their salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for co-workers who are not saved. We claim their salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you right now, Father, for your blessing and your power moving through the lives of every person here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Praise God. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Oh, amen. I tell you what, if that doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be.